Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Jane Ross. It is Film Talks On Air. My guest today is Cameron Maidams. He's the assistant director and editor of By Hand. He's a Hawke's Bay born filmmaker with a long, lifelong passion for cinema and theatre. He's now based in Wellington, working as a videographer and content producer. His work spans directing, writing, producing, and editing, and brings a real clarity and emotional instinct to storytelling. I can attest to that, helping shape each project so that it carries both precision, feeling, including his work on By Hand. He joins me now. Hello, Cameron. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Jane. Wow, thanks. That was a great introduction. It's almost like you know me better than I know myself.
I tried very hard. I was reflecting on how I've come to know you as all of those things in the film industry and film world, and also from working pretty closely with you over the last, oh gosh, it's been longer than a year. I started working on By Hand about 18 months ago, and I think you came in probably a year ago.
Yeah, I think we had our first conversation probably about a year ago, yeah.
Now, of course, the conversations initially started on phone, but then we started to head towards a certain cafe in Carterton to actually talk through the making of By Hand. Aunt Ginger's, give a shout out to Aunt Ginger's and their amazing scones.
Yeah, big shout out to Aunt Ginger's and their date scone.
I love that you've been part of that process of pre-production filming, and now, of course, you're, you know, integral to the post-production of editing as well. And but it was really important, I felt, that you came and spent time on location and got to know Greg and Ellie and Greg and Ellie's world at the Wheelwright Hub in Gladstone. And I guess for me, I wanted to ask, looking back on that now, how was that process for you?
Well, I remember very clearly the first day I met you in Carterton at Aunt Ginger's, and you took me to Greg and Ellie's place for the first time. And I didn't know what to expect. You know, you'd sort of told me about these amazing people who had this amazing craft, but it wasn't really until arriving there, meeting them and seeing them and their space and, it, you know, all the magic and all the kind of, you know, everything sunk in. And it was like, yes, these people are amazing, and this is going to be such a beautiful and important story to tell.
Yeah, I think I got that feeling as well. The first time I talked about making a film and went out to the Wheelwright Hub, I just thought, yeah, this is where all the magic happens. So look, we spent a year working on this project from the very first day of filming in March 2025 to the last day of filming in March 2026. And so starting in autumn, so for me that whole autumnal romantic light was really appropriate but also really important to maintain throughout the film, so hence why we spaced it out for that long. But there were also some key moments that were happening in Greg and Ellie's life, and you know, the vision for the film, you know, was as much as about that vision as it was about constraint as well. And we had numerous weather events that prevented some of our filming from taking place. But I think it was also, we wanted to capture Greg and Ellie in the workshop, but we also really wanted to capture them working with people, because part of what is important about the By Hand story is the being able to pass these skills on to the next generation.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. So look, it's now been 2 weeks since we had the world premiere of By Hand at the Wairarapa Event Centre in Carterton. How have you processed that night, sharing it for the very first time with an audience?
Yeah, it was a surprising and amazing event, because I just hadn't, you know, I knew there was going to be people there, but when 250 people showed up, it was pretty powerful and pretty special, especially for Ellie and Greg to see that support that the community has for them. But then, yeah, it was a little daunting as well, knowing that that amount of people were going to be watching our film the first time we were ever screening it to basically anyone that wasn't the two of us and our composer and color gradist. So daunting at the time, lots of nerves on my end, and I know you were a little bit as well. But yeah, the response was very positive, which was so comforting to hear. And the fact that Greg and Ellie liked the film as well was the most important thing, because at the end of the day, you know, when you're making a film about two people and their life and their passion and their process and their craft, you know, those are the two people who, you know, are going to give the most critical review, because they know their life better than anyone. So to have them respond really positively and you know, graciously was amazing. But yeah, I remember us messaging after that screening saying, what just happened? That was crazy. It was this whole process, a year and editing and so many hours spent, you know, crafting and cutting and making sure it was all right. And then in 14 minutes, it was all over with a round of applause.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And yeah, it is a real surreal feeling. I think that was the overall sort of feeling that I had. Like, did that just happen? And I think there's something to be said about when you're on a journey of helping people to tell their story and you hand that story over. You know, there's something very exciting about that. But I wrote in the midweek here, the Wired Up in Midweek this week, reflecting on that journey. And I started by saying, you know, one of the great privileges of telling somebody else's story is that you get to share it with an audience. And one of the most vulnerable parts of that is that you get to share it with an audience. And, so, yeah, I mean, I think it's good to have that mix of excitement and nerves. And I had Greg and Ellie sitting right behind me, who had chosen not to see it until that night. They wanted to experience it with everybody else in the room. So I was nervous for that reason, because I really wanted to do justice to their story. I felt that we were, and I felt that we gave our heart to that story as much as they did as well. And so I'm left feeling quite happy and I'm proud, and I'm also quite humbled as well by the response to this film and the amount of interest that's been shown, and people wanting to see it again as well.
Yeah. And the fact that people were immediately asking to want to watch it again and where could they watch it if they wanted to was pretty cool. And yeah, just as you said, you know, the reception to the film, the specialness of the night with Greg and Ellie being there. And I didn't have the privilege of sitting next to them for the screening. I was sitting across the other side of the room with Andy Goldson. So I was still waiting after we had to sit through, you know, another hour and a half before I could go and talk to them and ask them whether they liked it or not. So it was a very sort of nerve-wracking, but also a very sort of comforting night at the end, once everything sort of happened and settled down and we had that conversation. Yeah.
And I think of course, we had that debrief with Greg and Ellie on the Sunday morning as well, and it had to be at Aunt Ginger's where it all started. So, I mean, that was a really amazing thing to be able to do. And I do feel very connected to Greg and Ellie, even more so from spending time with them and getting to know their stories so well. So that's definitely a lifetime friendship there.
100%. And you know, Ellie and Greg on the night were so gracious in giving us that beautiful gift each. And Ellie sort of said, this is something for you to remember us by. And I was like, well, I don't need a gift to remember you guys by. It's definitely going to be, as you say, a lifelong relationship.
I love my milking stool. I've got it sitting next to my bed. I just love my little milking stool. So just so everyone knows, they made us a milking stool each by hand.
By hand, yeah. Mine's also in my room, and it's got a pot plant sitting on top with a towel in between, obviously, not to stain the wood. But it was just so amazing when I put that in my room, because it just all of a sudden smelt. My whole room smelt like beautiful timber.
Yeah.
And it's
a lovely thing, because one of the things that I realized when I was visiting and doing site locations with Greg and Ali was the importance of the whole sensory experience of working with wood. And even on the first day of filming, there was a moment where we stopped milling and Greg just said, "Can everyone please take a moment to smell the sweetness of this wood?" And I just thought, wow, we've got to make sure that we're acknowledging all of that when we're making this film. So, you know, to that end, you know, on that note, I should say that, you know, you try and figure out what the arc of your story is going to be, with a beginning and a middle and an end. And I certainly do that with the three movements or three acts of the story. But you also, as documentary filmmakers, need to be open to the moment, those unexpected opportunities that actually sort of come up that you're not expecting. And all of a sudden, like, we had one of those moments on the last day of filming where they were doing, you know, some work with adding metal to the center of the wheel, and there was a process of pouring water and steam and, you know, metal coming off the fire and connecting with the wood. And it was like, did that just happen? That was like that incredible moment where we all just stood there with our eyes wide open, not believing the process that we were actually capturing.
Yeah, exactly. And thank the heaven that the camera was rolling and we managed to capture it all as well.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So you mentioned Annie Goldson. We had the amazing Annie Goldson share Georgie Girl, about Georgina Beyer, the most remarkable story of her life. And it was lovely to have that connection between Greg being a former mayor of Carterton and Georgina Beyer being the former mayor of Carterton, and having these really beautiful celebratory films about Greg and Ellie and Georgina. I really did love having that Carterton curation around the screening of those films. Annie Goldson has been really supportive and is encouraging us to enter this into festivals and actually seize the moment, seize the day on that. And we also have the support of another award-winning filmmaker, Annie Collins. And this is the part that I wanted to talk about, because we're not quite finished. I mean, we had the film ready to share with an audience, but we have this now have this opportunity to do one last finesse, I'm going to call it, what Annie Collins refers to as the final fineness and feeling of the film, and refine it one last time before we can put it into cinemas and into festivals and actually look at some international distribution of the film as well, because it was always my hope and my dream that this film could go out to the world, and that the story of two people in Gladstone could go out to the world and resonate globally. So that's the point we're at now. So from your point of view, like, what do you see in this final process for us? What do you think we need to really be thinking about?
Well, as you say, I mean, Annie Collins is an absolute veteran in the film industry. You know, she's been across so many amazing films and documentarians as well. So just even the opportunity to be able to sit down with her and get her insight into the film is just going to be, you know, endlessly amazing. And, you know, she'll, you know, provide, I'm sure, some advice that, you know, neither you or I could have even possibly considered. So yeah, I'm just really looking forward to that process and just getting, you know, that outside perspective, because obviously with, you know, making the film, you're in it and so close to it, 18 months and for you and a year for me, and all that time in the editing booth sort of just focused in on that film, you know, and also having known, met Greg and Ellie and knowing them quite well now ourselves, you know, it's really good to be able to get someone more objective to come in and sort of, you know, tell us things that we maybe have maybe sort of skating over and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we've had so much positive feedback already about how the film was, you know, was great, and that Greg and Ellie, you know, love it. So I don't really want to change too much, but yeah, what Annie can offer will be invaluable. So
yeah. I'm really looking forward to that part of our professional development as well, yeah, as filmmakers. 100%. I to be mentored by Annie Collins is really incredible.
Mm.
So I guess my sort of final thoughts around this is, how do you feel about this film? How are you feeling?
even you said it's 2 weeks since that screening, but it actually still feels very close in terms of, you know, time to process. The fact that, you know, obviously when you release a film in theatres, you know, you have your opening night and then, you know, the film is screened repeatedly again and again and again, and reviews keep streaming in, but we've still only screened this film the one time. So, you know, it's just that one night of response and reaction that we have to go on. So I'm looking forward to being able to screen it to more people, widening our audience. And as you say, festivals, both in New Zealand and even overseas as well, because I think the beautiful thing about the film is that it can travel because the craft that Ellie and Greg, you know, have made their own is also, you know, rooted in history from hundreds of years from all across the world, and especially from the UK where they originally brought their skills back from. So yeah, I'm just really excited to see where the film will go, the journey that it will go on, and who will get to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to sharing this film and, you know, with new audiences, and actually just being able to share Greg and Ellie's story is such a privilege. And speaking of privileges, it's been an absolute privilege to work with you, Cameron.
Oh, well, it's been, yeah, ditto and likewise. It's been just, making films is an amazing craft, and bringing, you know, images and people to life on screen is amazing anyway. But when you get to do it with such amazing people like Greg and Ellie as subjects, and, you know, filmmakers like yourself, it just makes that process so much more special. And
meaningful, really meaningful storytelling.
Yeah.
I also just want to give a shout out to everyone that has supported us on this journey. We've been running a boosted campaign for the last 4 weeks, and we are going to hit that target. And I just want to, just from the bottom of my heart, thank everybody that has made a donation. Every donation has been really greatly appreciated, because it will help us with all of those next stages that we've talked about, being able to create the final DCP, which is the file format needed to screen in cinemas, and doing that final finesse in the editing studio that will enable that. Every entry into a festival carries costs, and we will be able to put our film into festivals, and it will help with our distribution. And so we're enormously grateful for all the donations, and also for the support from the community, the support from national media. Somebody's from Radio New Zealand, shout out to Paris Eyeball for seeing one of my Facebook posts that led to him contacting Greg, and Greg going live on the Morning Report this week on RNZ. For anyone that hasn't listened to that, please go to the Te Wai Whakaata Wairarapa Film Festival page. That link has been shared there. And there's also been, I was interviewed by Paris later that afternoon for an online story, which has also been published on the RNZ website. We are so grateful for that national, for our film made in Gladstone, it's already getting a national recognition. I'm just so, so humbled and grateful for that.
Yeah. And I'll extend my gratitude as well. You've said it perfectly, but Yeah, we can't, you know, these films are so important, you know, to make, like, about local people, local stories. And the sad thing is that there's not necessarily a lot of money in doing this, in terms of being able to make it happen. And as you say, everything carries cost these days, with even putting it into festivals and being able to share it to the world, you know, even the screening, you know, we need a venue for that, et cetera. So every little bit does really help. And I also just want to extend an urge out to other local filmmakers to keep making local stories, keep making these stories about amazing local heroes, because it's really those stories that, you know, shine through and bring communities together. And yeah, indie film.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's go
indie filmmakers. Okay, Cameron, yeah. It's been wonderful to take time to do a bit of a debrief live on air with you today. It's all part of this, isn't it? It's all part of our story of the making of this film, is checking in with each other and just checking that we're okay.
And we didn't get an Aunt Ginger's scone today, because you're in Masterton and I'm in Wellington, but we'll have next debrief, definitely have to go back for a scone.
Oh, well, you know, we will definitely be doing that. Can't wait. You know, we'll set a date for the next scone date. Okay.
Yeah.
You have a wonderful day. Nga mihi nui ki a koe.